Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
So on tonight's show, we've got some news to cover, but we'll also be reviewing the latest episode of What If? And I don't know, Fedra, have you been watching any movies lately?
I did. I just finished Suicide Squad Part 2 that came out this year, I believe.
That one's called The Suicide Squad, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay. I had seen it, Jack. Did you see it? Yeah, you did see it. Always say that. I always forget.
I liked it.
Yeah, so we'll see what Fedra has to say.
She hated it.
Yes, I did actually. You want me to just roll right in there?
Go ahead, get rolling.
All right, I got notes. So, as far as rating, this is my toughest rating. This was a low 4 out of 10. Overall, I just think it was terrible.
Which one do you think was better though?
I mean, out of the two, I just liked the dynamics in the first one, and I liked the writing more as far as like the plot of the villain. I still feel like it was weak. Both were definitely weak. I just did not feel this movie at all. I have no intention of rewatching it. And I made certain points. I mean, there are some scenes that I genuinely liked, so I got that down. But let me kind of go into, I guess, the characters themselves. So one thing I found weird was that Idris, who plays Bloodsport, I really had a problem. Like, he remembers Flag, but then doesn't know Harley. And I know that there are different, you know, actors that played Bloodsport, but I would think that it would have been more interesting if it wasn't two separate films.
Wait a minute. They were different characters, actually.
They were.
Yeah. One was Bloodshot. One was Bloodsport.
But both were like top-notch assassins and top-notch.
Yes.
Like, okay. So that's why I'm confused. There we go. That makes sense now.
They couldn't get Will Smith back, or maybe they didn't want to get Will Smith back. So they brought in a new character, but yeah, it basically was. You're 100% right. I could see a lot of people getting confused with that character.
Okay, because that was my thing. It was like, he knows Flag, but he doesn't know Harley. Like, I'm confused right here. So there's that. And then Ratcatcher, I found her interesting. I wasn't really fascinated with her power with the rats. I was just like, meh. But overall acting, I wasn't really impressed. But I did like the personality of her, of just being good-hearted, coming from, you know, the streets and wanting to do good. And that, you know, she kind of appreciated the rats and really like had this kind of ability of appreciating their power and not being like, yeah, I can control rats. It was more like it was a very common equality there. And appreciation for one another, like the rats with her and her with the rats. The weasel, sick and gross. And it was funny because when he passed out in the water, I totally believed he was still alive. So when it like went full circle at the end, I was like, I knew it. And that's creepy because now he's in the dark roaming around looking for children. Ew. Flag's death. Oh, I was so mad. I was so mad that, you know, Pacemaker did that whole BS with Flag and the whole death. And oh, I was just like, I don't know. If there was anything that I was like really into in the scene, was that scene when they're fighting and he's dying. I was just like, no, like I want him to win. Like, I don't know. I'm just telling you how I felt. Harley, overall, I like what Harley is showing in the movie as far as these different, you know, emotions and personality. Still over the top. I kind of liked the animated part where she's shooting and there's all these like flowers and the butterflies. Like, I thought that was interesting. But again, I was like, this might be over the top to me, even for me. And I love anime and I love, you know, the animated Harley, but I'm just like, in reality, it's like, I can't feel it. I had this dissonance to it. Peacemaker, I don't know. A part of me was like, it's John Cena playing John Cena.
Oh yeah, that's what I felt too.
Like, I mean, it's just a tad of John Cena's dark side. Like, if he was ever like, hey, John Cena, would you like to like play this really dark side of you in this movie? And he'd be like, yeah. And like, that's basically what he's doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
You know? So I don't know. Like, I just didn't really see like a whole lot of, again, acting there. So
it's like Zoolander, like with his calendar. When he has like the different poses, he goes,
yeah,
I'm really, really glad that people got to see different sides of me and they're all the same photo. Yeah.
Well, and like, as far as favorite scenes, I will say, besides that fight, and of course it like affected me when Flag's death, but also I and this is just me being cheesy and kind of vulgar, so I'm going to admit that. But I love the scene with Harley and that dictator guy and how he's like being all romantic and like offering her this whole spot. And then, you know, in the end, she kind of just has her little fun with him and then just shoots him. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's my morbid side. But when she was just like, I really like how you look right here. And he's just dead with a pool of blood. I was just like, wow, like dark, you know, like that was a good scene.
Welcome to the dark side of Fedra. You all thought she was sweet and nice.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Jack. And then my second favorite, I mean, it's probably better than the Harley moment, but hey, first of all, Viola Davis, still very underrated as an actress. I mean, she is just amazing in what she does. And I truly hated her as Amanda Waller. Like, the moment where that employee took that tire iron and hit her across the head into unconsciousness, I was just like, yeah! It was like this sports moment where I was just like, go! Just give her a little knack, you know? I was just, oh, it was so beautiful. And I know it's so tiny, but it's those little moments, you know, in the film. And then the other
employee's probably dead now.
Right. You know? Yeah, I'm sure. And the other moment was, I don't know what they're called, but it was those fishy things that were like in the No, not the starfish. Those fishy things. Oh,
okay, I get you.
That shark was like trying to think that they were his friend and they were starting to chew on him. Oh my God, that was brilliant. I mean, I was even thinking like, oh, they're so cute. They're going to be friends together. Like, he finally has a kind to bond with. And it was like, nope, it was just like chomping at him. That's great. All right. And then
see,
I think
the way you're talking, Fedra, it sounds like you hit the hurdle. Like, you hated it in the beginning, and then when all the bat stuff, crazy stuff started happening, you accepted the joy of the movie. And what happened? You started enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's those little moments that are really great. But I mean, when you look at the big picture, you're like, how does this make sense? It's like, I don't know. I feel like they got eight writers together and they're like, okay, you're going to do the starfish thing. We're going to get this guy with the shark. Then we're going to have a weasel. Okay. Then we're going to have this guy who hates his mother and he's going to throw polka dots. I mean, it's just like, okay, how did you put that all together to make this profound film? It's like, no,
it's not a profound film. That's the
I know.
If you were looking for a profound film, you would not have bought a ticket to a movie called The Suicide Squad. You're looking for a movie that is, okay, get ready with R2-D2 scream back.
Oh, thanks, Jack. I don't like
enjoy the
I got to find that now. That's fine.
But that's just it. It sounds like you're right. at the beginning, this is movie is so stupid. This is so dumb. I don't care about these characters. But they start throwing funny things in, like Killer Shark's mustache, you know, and you're like, this Lame. Is just so good. But it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I said the you're same thing, Pedro.
A 10-foot tall shark walking around to start with. The fact that he thinks he could put his finger, his fin in front of his nose to pretend it's a mustache. That's yeah, the joy I mean, of the movie.
It was definitely entertaining with him like eating actual people. Like, there you got me. Definitely. I was just like, all right, this it had to go somewhere. And then the polka dot guy with his whole thing hating his mom, and then he sees his mom everywhere. I mean, that was, you know, psychologically disturbing, but it was still interesting. Like, okay. But I mean, again, it's like, I won't see this again. Like, this isn't something I want to rewatch, you know? I haven't even gotten to the dark points yet. That I feel like for the fact that it came out this year is also very, you know, disturbing, those kind of undertone things. And I don't know if you want me to talk about them, but I definitely saw them. And that was also very, you know, topics that are very relevant, that it's like, okay. And they just decided to just put this in the film too. It's like, you know,
well, it's James Gunn, and he kind of has free roam. He could do whatever he wants. Like, he directed it. He directed the Guardians movies too. I'll say I'm kind of in the middle of you guys, because I know Jack really liked it.
And well, I liked it because, like I said, it was so bat stuff crazy.
Thank you.
That I enjoyed it because I went in not thinking this is grand art. This is just crazy stuff being thrown against the wall and seeing what sticks. And like I said, if you look at it that way, you probably would have given it a high Fedra score of, like, I don't know, 5.5.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Fedra is now considered like the low scorer. I used to be the really low scorer. But that's fine. You could take my title away from me, Fedra. But I judge movies the way you do, Fedra. I judge them as movies first. And yeah, I kind of felt like this was a waste. What would bother me about the movie is, I say this again, they could have made another Batman movie. They could have made another Superman movie or a Wonder Woman movie. Instead, they wasted their time and money, and they gave us the Suicide Squad. They gave us two Suicide Squad movies.
With Superman and Batman.
Say that again?
I'm sick of their efforts with Superman and Batman.
Well, look,
they've had Man of Steel. They've had Batman versus Superman, which should have been printing money in the bank. Everybody would love to see a good movie about that. And Justice League. No, I don't want to see any more movies about Batman and Superman from these guys until they throw them all out and get a new crop in.
But do you think after the first Suicide Squad movie, it deserved a sequel?
I don't know, because I've never made it through that whole movie. It was so bad and unfun, and Jared Leto was the Joker.
You answered my question, you know, without giving me an answer, basically. And then they gave Harley Quinn her own movie with the, what was it? It wasn't Birds of Prey.
Birds
I forget.
Of Prey?
It was the... It wasn't the emasculation.
Emancipation.
Emancipation, thank you. Emasculation of Harley Quinn or whatever. But
different movie in Joe Hogarty's world.
Yeah. I just feel like they're wasting their resources on things that they could be applying, number one, for better writers, better actors, better movies. Again, I would rather see the more popular heroes, like a Superman movie, a Batman movie, a Wonder Woman movie, a Green Lantern movie, a Flash movie. I'm even kind of iffy on the Aquaman part. I wouldn't have given him a movie. And I'm sure that there's other DC, I can't think right now, heroes or villains I'd rather see a movie than the Suicide Squad. They would be like on my low bottom to give them not only one movie, but two movies.
Well, but even like
Guardians of the Galaxy. You know?
But the first one was good though, Jack. That's why it deserved a sequel.
That had a leg up. But once again, these were characters that people didn't know. They weren't popular, and they went and saw it and enjoyed the movie. For me, I thought the first Suicide Squad, like I said, I couldn't get through it. It was just not very good. But then again, this one had a 10-foot tall walking shark. You know, this one had, you know, a guy who throws polka dots that explode. Like, come on, you know, it's just, I think there was a better group of characters in the second one than there were in the first one.
I'll agree with that. I'll give you that much. But
and even though I don't know much about them, if Taylor was here, he could say, well, Polka Dot Man appeared in 1953 in an issue of, you know, I don't know these characters well enough. No, that wasn't a fair Taylor voice. Taylor's more happy. Well, Polka Dot Man arrived in 1953, you know. But I don't know that part of DC history. And
as the mayor of Munchkin City.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm saying your imitation.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, look at my imitation. Yeah. You know, that's almost spot on.
But what were you saying before, Fedra?
Well, it would be cool if they made maybe a trilogy instead of, you know, Superman and Batman. Like, what if they did kind of like a trio of villains, and how you and I have talked about, they're actually villains, like they're actually bad people, and then choose either a group of heroes or maybe one or two heroes to kind of either introduce from Marvel, you know, DC, or, you know, kind of make like a trilogy of films to kind of showcase maybe one, you know, story, that one big story to connect them all. That would be kind of cool. I would really like to see that. I just think that a lot of these group films with a lot of people in it, it's very difficult to branch out one big story for it to make sense. Cause then all I see is just, again, fluff and really over budgeted, you know, action, you know, parts. And then there's no story to kind of lead you through it.
Yeah, like I said, I was in your boat and I gave it a 5 when I first saw it, and my nephew actually convinced me to watch it a second time. I enjoyed it a little more the second time, but still I just felt it was unnecessary. I really didn't like most of the characters. I did like Ratcatcher. She was the heart of the film. I really, really enjoyed her. I guess her and Idris Elba, but like you, John Cena, I just think that they're like, well, The Rock did good and he was a wrestler, and Batista did good and he was a wrestler. We need a new wrestler. And John Cena is like, me, you know, just dying to be in anything, but he sucks. He's just horrible. And they're not only did they put him in that movie, they put him in the Fast and Furious movie series now. And he's going to have his own series on HBO Max based on this character from the Suicide Squad, Peacemaker. It's like, who wants to see that? Honestly, I guess somebody does, but I just don't. I'm not going to go there because I've already said that in the past. I just don't get him. All right, well, let's move on. So, Jackie boy, you been up to anything or have you seen anything?
Let's see. What am I doing? I have started work on a new project with the Star Wars models. I'm making a U-Wing from Rogue One, taking the kit, which is a very basic kit, and adding all sorts of details and little greebles and extensions onto things. And, you know, so I'm kind of souping it up. Of course, any Star Wars purist is going to look at this and say, that's not what it looks like. But you know what? I'm trying to just make a cool looking U-Wing.
Jack was hurt by some comments from what was your previous one? Was it the TIE Fighter? Was it Kylo Ren?
It was the Kylo Ren ship that I turned into the TIE Avenger from the old TIE Fighter games. And yeah, I've heard mixed reviews. A lot of people like it because it's a little less, it was a little less exaggerated than Kylo Ren's shuttle. You know, I mean, when you're talking about removing an inch in length off of a 10 inch model, you know, that's a lot of scaling to adjust for. So this one, it's really just, I'm giving it bigger engines. I'm adding some width onto the wings. I'm spiffing up the engine section. So there's lots of little tweaks going on with it. And the other thing is I am rewatching the Harley Quinn series because I got it on Blu-ray, which seasons one and two. But since I enjoyed season one so much, I'm going back and watching season one again before I start season two.
Oh, that's cool.
And actually, Fedra, I think you would probably like the Harley Quinn series, the animated series.
It is very, it's a good series, Fedra.
All
it's
right.
Your kind of feminism.
Okay.
What is that? There's no women's rights. It's just chicks going around with a big mallet breaking men's legs and stuff like that.
What? That doesn't sound like Jack.
That's the first scene.
I know, but it sounds like me.
All right, I'll check it out.
You don't like me because I'm a girl? Whack with a mallet, you know. It's...
How about now?
Oh, well, yeah, but Joe doesn't need his legs broken. But it's just such a crazy series. And I think you would love the dynamic between Harley and Poison Ivy. Because they've turned Harley, ratcheted her up a little bit. And then they've made Poison Ivy. Like, remember the old MTV cartoon Daria?
Yes.
That's Ivy.
No way,
her
really.
Best friend. You know,
all like super chill monotone.
Yeah. Ivy gives her good advice all the time, and she does the exact opposite every single time. It's just hysterical to watch, you know, her doing these things and Ivy as the suffering voice of reason. Yeah. It's very good. And of course, there's a 10-foot shark walking around wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So you can't go wrong with that.
Well, as long as you enjoy it, that's the important thing.
Exactly. And once again, don't look for depth. Just get on the roller coaster and enjoy the ride.
Speaking of enjoying something, something I didn't enjoy is
You see, I was going to say, Joe, did you enjoy something?
No, I didn't.
No.
No, I'm getting ready for Dune. You know, Dune's coming out, the new Dune movie. I think it's coming out this month. And so I figured I'd watch David Lynch's Dune for the first time. And I hated it. I thought it sucked. Now, I didn't read the books. I'm assuming, Jack, did you read the books?
I read all the books.
I knew it. Fedra, did you read any of them? Or
I have not. You mean you watched the original and you didn't like it?
Did you?
Well, in fairness, David Lynch took some liberties.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, I really actually did. But I looked at characters and how the writing. Obviously, the effects at that time were not really good. Characters were kind of, you know, Sting. I felt like Sting was being Sting again because yeah. I mean, he's fabulous, you know, looking. He was a very smug villain. But I think, you know, at least my mom who read all the films when we watched together, she said it was, you know, pretty consistent with I guess how things go, you know, but I didn't really read them. But I saw, I don't remember who, they made a series on sci-fi, and
that I thought was actually closer to the books.
Oh really?
If they had a bigger budget and they follow that screenplay, mm-mm. I think we would have been talking about that's the version of Dune to watch. But it was sci-fi. There's a lot of green screen. There's a lot of obvious matte paintings. Like, sometimes matte paintings do blend in a little better. They had some problems there.
Well, but I think for the time, I think some of the special effects were pretty good. Like, I like the worms and... even like the scenes in the desert look pretty good. And It looked great in HD, which I was surprised because it wasn't in 4K, but it kind of looked like some parts were filmed yesterday. But I really didn't like Kyle MacLachlan as the lead, Paul, which I always thought was kind of funny for like a hero's name, Paul, where it's supposed to be this grand epic and it's, what is it, 10,000 years in the future? I don't know.
It's so far in the future, they've forgotten what Earth is.
Yeah. I thought he had no charisma whatsoever, that he was kind of boring. And I thought the movie was just dragged. I couldn't wait for it to be over. And it was just weird. And then I watched the trailer for the new one. And the new one basically looks like the same, except it looks like it's got better special effects. It's got better actors. It's more diverse actors. That's one thing I noticed. I was like watching it. And I guess like now, like where it is a big issue for a lot of people, that there aren't a lot of diverse characters, or there weren't diverse characters. There's more diverse characters in Star Wars and Marvel and DC. And back in the 80s, there really weren't any. This movie is proof that there really wasn't any. I had to squint to find like a black or an Asian man in that movie. It was 99% white. And it's kind of weird. Like, it was like, yeah, it is kind of unusual looking back at it now. So I think that it's what's going on now is having an effect on me as I view old movies, which I do think it should have been a little more diverse. But again, that was David Lynch. I'm still going to watch the new movie because I want to see if it improves. It's got to definitely improve the effects. But yeah, Jason Momoa is in it. Oscar Isaac, I think, plays the father. I don't know who the kid is that plays the lead, Paul. In the book, was he younger? Because he looks like
he was younger. I think he was, at the start of it, like 15 years old.
He looks like he's about 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, and I mean, as it goes on, I mean, the whole story happens over years. So even if they got somebody in their 20s, they could, you know, fudge the timeline a little bit.
Even does his sister age as well in the books?
His sister is a weird character.
I know.
Okay. Yeah, she creeped me out in that movie.
She's pretty freaky in general in the books.
Yeah.
I mean, she comes out of the womb aware. You know, she's got a full intellect plus the historical intellects of all her ancestors as well, and she's, like I said, just out of the womb. And as she gets older, she gets creepier because, you know, here's this 2 or 3 year old walking around talking about things as an adult. And yeah, she's a weird character.
Well, again, I'm looking forward to
Gets weirder.
We'll see. But like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be on HBO Max this month, I think. The one thing that bothers me is Zendaya is in it. It's like, I just don't like her. I just think that they keep giving her roles because she's popular. But she hasn't been able to prove to me yet that she's a good actress. It's just that for whatever reason, she's the it girl. And I don't like girls with one name, like Madonna, Zendaya, Cher. Where she's not up to their level is what I'm saying, that she can have her own name. That just pisses me off beyond belief. Sorry.
Well, I think this role, I think she's going to be good as it.
I hope so. You know, maybe this will be her.
Jenny.
Maybe it'll be her breakout role.
Yeah. If they give her enough to do.
All right.
Because the one thing that worries me about this movie is it's only the first half of the first book. So it's one of those things that if this doesn't do well, we're not going to see the whole story.
You know. And
that always worries me.
No, you will. They did that crap with Wonder Woman. It's like, if Wonder Woman's not going to do well, the sequel. The sequel, everybody hated the sequel. And You didn't hate the sequel?
No, I didn't think it was as good as the first one, but I didn't think it was terrible.
It was terrible. Sorry, Jack. Federer would have given it at least a one.
Treasure. No, it's terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Federer. See, she backs me up, Jack. Now you're you're the minority, McCarthy.
But I'm a positive minority voice.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, no, they'll
Pedro's revealing herself to be a regular hater in the background here.
No, I have certain things that like, I just can't deny. Like when Joe's right, he's right. When you're right, Jack, you're right. I that's all I can say is just how I feel. And I was disappointed with Wonder Woman for sure. Everyone was telling me how great it is. And I was like really looking forward to the Wonder Woman. And I was like, this is it? You're kidding me, right?
It wasn't as good as the first one, but I had problems with the first one as well. So,
yeah, I did too.
It wasn't as good as the first one, but I don't think it was terrible. But, you know.
Well, your girlfriend was in it. That's what made it terrible.
My girlfriend?
Kristen Wiig.
I keep saying it. Joe, you just don't appreciate her. You didn't watch enough Saturday Night Live.
She's horrible. Well, maybe that's... If I did watch it, because sometimes actors are better on Saturday Night Live, and then when they transition over, the movies are not as good. But I just can't stand her. Anything that she's in, she sucks. And
like I thought she was great in The Skeleton Twins.
I didn't see that.
And that was not a comedy. That was very serious.
I didn't see that.
Her and Bill Hader. You'd be surprised that two people who are known for comedy like that really put in a great, serious performance.
Yeah, he's not very good either. Let's move on, all right?
Okay, let's move on.
Getting into the news. Let's start with the news here. So, people have seen Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And the interesting thing to come out of this is that there's an after-credits scene during the movie. I'm not going to reveal what it is because I'm going to spoil it for anybody. But I will just say that this kind of confirms that Venom is part of the MCU. So somebody shows up in the end credits. I'm not going to say who it is, but it's somebody from the MCU.
Really? Now, yeah. I really thought they were really going to try to keep it separate to avoid another Spider-Man situation.
Yeah. Well, me too. But I think that's a nice surprise, though, because I didn't really expect it. So
that could be good.
Sony and Marvel working together. That's always a good sign. Did you know this movie is actually 90 minutes long?
Yeah, I heard it was very short.
That's crazy. And I didn't realize Andy Serkis is directing this one. I didn't know if he did. Did he do the first one? I forget.
Oh, I don't remember.
Did you watch Venom, Fedra?
Not yet, but I do want to.
Jack's seen it like four or five times, I think.
I've seen it when it's on like TNT, which is like every other month or something. But no, it's one of those ones. If it's on, I'm like, yeah, that wasn't bad. I'll kind of leave it on in the background as I'm doing stuff. And there are some very good parts and some very interesting angles on Venom that is... It's pretty good. I like the fact that you hear Venom's voice in Eddie's head, that it's just not him having a one-sided conversation. You know, there are certain things that they do with it that's pretty interesting and pretty good. And I like the look of Venom. You know, he doesn't have the white spider on his chest yet. I guess that's probably coming soon. But, I just thought it was kind of funny. What worries me is in the second, they've changed his voice to make his voice less scary. I guess maybe to let you sympathize with Venom a little bit more that, you know, hey, he's really kind of a good guy, which I think takes away from the character because I think the character is supposed to be scary as hell. He's not supposed to be funny or comedic.
Well, that's why I don't like the movie. It's because what they've done with Venom, even in the comic books, they never should have made him good, or they should have made him good temporarily. He's a good villain Somebody with fangs and all that shouldn't be a good guy. He should be a villain. He should be Spider-Man's villain. And I hate to bring up this movie over and over again, but it's similar to Joker because it's not the real Joker that we know in the comics. It's a different Venom because his origin has nothing to do with symbiote from space or alien, you know, symbiote or whatever. Spider-Man's not involved. So I don't understand how you can watch that and you can't watch Joker.
I think they had a good balance with Venom in the first one. Because he really wasn't a hero. It was more about Eddie Brock dealing with this thing on him that sometimes goes out of control. It's a little bit almost like the Hulk. If Bruce Banner was arguing with the Hulk, you know, not to freak out.
Good point.
But like I said, it was a played a lot lighter. I mean, everything I've heard about the Joker, it's just consistent. It doesn't sound like a fun movie to me at all. And there's too much crap in the world going on. I need fun to be entertained. I don't need to watch something that's going to make me feel bad.
All right, we won't get into that.
There's enough stuff in the real world.
Yeah. Are you not entertained?
So what's our next news story, Joe?
Her gladiator performance. Maximus.
Maximus.
Next one's the Hawkeye trailer. Now, I hope you guys both watched that.
Yes, I did. Has me in the Christmas spirit already.
All right, well, let's hear from Fedra first. So what'd you think, Fedra?
Jingle, jingle, jingle. There goes the arrows.
Anytime Fedra gets a chance to sing, it just comes out.
Oh, yes. No, it was not bad. I think, am I looking forward to it? I'll get to it. I don't think it was something that got me really excited. I agree with you, Joel, that it kind of reminded me of Black Widow, where it's going to be, you know, action-packed, probably not a really deep story there. But it looked at least, you know, I don't know the actor's name, but it's going to give him a nice, you know, lead role. And
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner. Sorry.
Jeremy Renner. And it's going to give him, it's going to give him a nice, you know, lead. I don't know about this young character who is in it, but it has some nice dynamics of it being kind of cheery and comedic as well. So
that's
hopefully not too cheesy either.
Who's that? Jack? Haley Atwell? Is that her name? No.
No.
Haley.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, there you go. Something like that. Yeah. She was in True Grit. She was a little girl in True Grit. She was really good in that. And she was in the Spider-Verse. She was Spider-Gwen. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Verger.
No, that was it. I'm just, you know, I liked the scenes. They looked like there were some good action scenes in it. But it's not something I'm, you know, truly excited for. I honestly thought it was going to be a series. Now it looks like it's just a film.
No, it's
or are
a series.
They doing both?
Oh, no, it's a series.
It's a series? All right.
Yeah. Like they could have done that with Black Widow. Like they could have released it in four parts on Disney Plus if they wanted to make it a series. But, you know, let's get to Jack. What'd you think?
At first, I was not very excited about it, but I got to say, this trailer did change my mind an awful lot. I like the fact that they're introducing Kate as Ronan, because that's something that's happened in the Marvel comics, that Hawkeye may have been the first person to wear that Ronan suit, but other characters have worn it afterwards.
Oh, so I didn't catch that. So when they mentioned that Ronan is out there, that's her?
I believe that's her.
I have to look at it again.
When he catches her and he's like, what are you doing? Who are you? You know, he takes the hood. I actually like the fact that the costume has a hood. I don't remember that in Endgame, but it looks like they've made some tweaks to the costume, but it looks good. I'm a little confused with the story because is he split from his wife or something that, you know, he's in the city and the kids are coming to visit him for the holidays. And he's like, oh, I've got to make the most of this time and stuff. And I'm like, you know, where's Linda Gonorelli? I used to like her.
I don't think that they're divorced or anything like that. I think that he realized that he has to step in to do something.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out. But there's some cool things. I have to rewatch it because while I enjoyed it, and they have Kate Bishop recreating a lot of those classic Hawkeye moments that we've seen through the movies, you know, the way he flips and shoots, of him falling and shooting upwards as he's falling backwards. So that was kind of cool seeing that. And I think at one scene they even did it together. But I have to go back and look at it again, like really closely, because people have been saying that there's elements of Matt Faction's Hawkeye series in there, like the tracksuit Russian mob, who they've learned English, but everybody is bro. So go, you understand, bro? Bro, don't do that, bro. So everybody is bro, even each other. So it's kind of played off a little comedic because if you call everybody in the room bro, no one quite knows how to answer. So it's kind of running gag, and Pizza Dog is supposed to be in there. Where Fedra, they did one whole issue through the eyes of the dog with like emojis. And, you know, the dog looks and, you know, every time he sees food, he gets a little thought bubble with a pizza slice or something. No one gets Hawkeye's name right. You know, everybody's like, oh yeah, oh, you're one of my favorite Avengers. You're Hawkeye, right? He's like Hawkeye, not Hawkeye. You know, there's so many running gags that run through that series that I hope they do it in the TV series. That is a trade paperback definitely to pick up because it's not the Hawkeye we know from the MCU. It's much closer to Hawkeye in the comic books. There's one issue where he has an ex-girlfriend intervention because he's living by himself in a rotten apartment, in a rotten building. And, you know, who comes to visit him to give him an intervention? But Spider-Woman, the Black Widow, Carol Danvers, like these different super women that he's dated at one time or another come and like, what are you doing? Why are you messing your life up so bad? You know, it's just very funny scenes like that get thrown in. But, you know, he's Hawkeye. You know, if he has his mask on, you know, he's the cool archer guy. But once he takes his costume off, he's worse off than Peter Parker. So it's a very good trade if you want to pick it up. But I'm kind of excited about it. There looks like a lot of cool stuff in it and a lot of cool moments. And Kate Bishop is a good character too. So let's see if they do them justice.
I was kind of bored when I first saw it. I was kind of figured it was going to be something like this where Hawkeye is just a supporting character like Black Widow is. They don't have superpowers. And what bothers me more about Hawkeye is that he's not comic book accurate with his costume. I wish they would give him a mask. And
yeah, but that's kind of a hard look, I think. I think that's one of those costume designs that probably looks better on paper than it would in the movie. Same way, like, we really haven't seen Wolverine with the Wolverine cowl.
Very true.
In any of the movies. We always see his hair is nice and pointy on the sides, but we've never seen the actual cowl. And I don't know how that would translate on film. We've seen some cosplay and stuff of the different superhero characters, but I don't think any of them hit that Hollywood production level. So I don't know how his costume would look. I think his suit, I think that looks pretty good. It's not 100% comic book, but I think in Age of Ultron, it very much had the Hawkeye look to it.
Yeah, I liked his Ultron one. Yeah,
but I think the mask, like I said, I think the what do they call it, a domino mask? I think that could be a very hard look to pull off where it looks cool on screen.
Well,
because if he did, they'd probably have him take it off half the time anyway. So this is the MCU we're talking about.
They should still try, I think. I know, even like with Thor, he rarely has his helmet on. And I had a problem with that too. But I'd like to see, again, the characters look as close as possible to their comic book counterparts as possible.
I think Thor's helmet in the like that first scene in Thor, when he's walking in the Hall of Asgard, I thought that helmet looked pretty cool. You know, because it kind of came down a bit. It didn't just go across his forehead.
Yeah.
But you know, you gotta show off those Goldilocks.
They gave him something like that in Ragnarok. I mean, it wasn't as good, but that's what he used against the Hulk.
Right.
But yeah. But I watched it a second time, the trailer, and it looks like it could be a fun series, like something light. At first I thought, did they kill his family? You know, is this why he's with Kate Bishop? But it seems like he's hiding the fact that he's working with Kate Bishop from his wife, probably trying to protect her for whatever reason. But I think it could be a light series, which I think we kind of need because we really haven't had that. Mm-hmm. And it might be successful for that reason alone, if it's a fun buddy sort of series, because that's what Falcon and the Winter Soldier should have been, but it wasn't. It got too serious. It got too engulfed in social issues and it lost the funness that we had seen in Civil War with the Winter Soldier and Falcon.
And even though Civil War had some very dark, serious things it was dealing with, it was still handled in a fun way.
Yeah.
I almost think that this is going to turn into, you know how Shang-Chi is Marvel does Kung Fu movies, Black Widow was how they do a spy movie. I have a sneaking hunch this is going to be how Marvel does like a Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or dare I say it, another holiday favorite, Die Hard. That's kind of what I think we're going to see. This is Marvel does a buddy Die Hard Lethal Weapon type movie.
Yeah, you can't have Christmas without Die Hard.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. And my other issue, though, too, is I think that it's possible that he might be handing over the reins to Kate Bishop. And I'm just not in favor of that because the MCU seems to be doing that right now with what they did with Steve Rogers. Tony Stark is the Riri Williams is going to be Ironheart. She-Hulk.
Are they setting up the Young Avengers?
I don't know. Well, I just don't like it.
Because you've got a much younger Iron Man in Ironheart, and now you're going to have a much younger Hawkeye in Kate Bishop. So maybe that's going to be the big reveal in Phase 4.
Well, I did hear that there was a rumor of a Young Avengers movie. So it is possible. But to me, I feel that the way that the MCU is going is that they're pushing inclusion and diversity.
Wait a second. We may have already seen another seed, too.
What? I'm trying to finish my sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, you just I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
We may have seen another seed towards the Young Avengers being planted in Falcon and Winter Soldier when Isaiah's grandson was kind of pushing his way into so many scenes. Because that's who plays the Captain America guy in the Young Avengers. It's Isaiah's grandson.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be three of the Young Avengers we're seeing very soon.
Maybe we'll see. You haven't seen Shang-Chi yet, have you?
Maybe this weekend the theaters are, well, one of the theaters, the little theater, is back open for business. So I may get to see it this weekend.
Okay. You'll see some Avengers in that movie, potentially.
Cool.
No, I am curious. I mean, a lot of people have asked me too. They're hoping that Jack can see it in theaters because they want to hear what he has to say.
I want to know too. Yeah.
It's still a mess. I mean, there's still tons of the insides of houses out on the curb, and we've gotten hit with another few days of really heavy rains and like all that stuff. It started off soaked, dried out a bit, and now it's gotten soaked again. So, you know, like everything is just sort of becoming this blob of gook. It's those poor people in Manville. It's like a disaster zone.
Yeah, that stinks. Anyway, let's move on. Next story. I kind of alluded to this to you guys. I saw this in the New York Post that it's possible that they might be replacing Harrison Ford in the Indiana Jones series with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is, I think she's in, is it Fleabag?
Yeah, it's some Fleabag.
Is a TV series. I tried to get into it. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
So this also came from, I think, the Daily Mirror or something like that. But they basically said that she's being tipped to replace the veteran actor as a female version of the fictional professor of archaeology in the adventure movie franchise. The film industry is awash with rumors that the Fleabag star will take over as the main Indiana adventure, making her the first female lead since the Disney-made movies began in 1981. And that's not right. That's I'm reading from from the Mirror. They were made by Paramount. Insiders claim Kathleen Kennedy, the Hollywood producer behind the franchise, is keen to make a big, bold change, with a few bigger than switching the lead character to a woman. One said it would be a huge statement and a great role for Phoebe. So what do you guys think about that? Fedra, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we got to see what she can do. Like it, as long as she can portray the attributes of the professor, and, you know, hopefully it's not too hokey or too, you know, that's my concern, is like, is it going to be tried and true of that kind of feel of Indiana Jones, or are they taking it into, you know, a whole separate direction? You know, like the last one was just terrible. So I just hope they don't go down that route. I mean, whether, you know, it becomes, you know, a male or a female role, I mean, as long as you're true to the character's itself attributes, I'm fine. I mean, it's kind of sad because I am a huge fan of Harrison Ford, but I kind of agree from our last discussions, he's kind of getting up there, and if he's like physically getting hurt during the filming, then yeah, you may need to take a back seat on this.
Yeah. Jack.
I think we already have a female Indiana Jones, to tell you the truth, that does all those type of ventures. We've had one around since the early 90s called Lara Croft. That is the successor to the Indiana Jones type character. So even if they give it to Phoebe, what's her name? She's like a Lara Croft character. And the thing is, Lara Croft is fun because, you know, she does all these crazy things with swinging around, shooting, and all that stuff. honestly, I think this is going to be a pass the torch, but I don't think we're going to see a sixth movie with Phoebe, what's her, Phoebe Fleabag as the, what's her last name?
Waller-Bridge.
Okay. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I don't think we're ever going to see that movie. I think, as you were saying, Joe, when you read, they called it the adventure franchise or something. It's not the adventure franchise. It's the Indiana Jones franchise. And without Indiana Jones, there's not going to be a Phoebe Waller franchise. I think this is going to be the capstone. He hands off the torch to her. She picks it up. She might do something, but I don't think we'll see another movie out of this. And if they're talking once again about Kathy Kennedy's agenda of, oh, you know, we're going to swap people out and strong women characters are what's in, not, you know, men, not, or not just, let's just put it, good characters, you know, it just seems with her, it's more important to have a female character than a good character. And I think that's what we're going to see. It gets handed off to Phoebe Waller, and that's going to be the end of that franchise. That's the end of those movies. Because honestly, it's Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. And unless they recast Indiana Jones as someone who looks very similar and can have similar type of adventures, it's not going to work. Because at this point, I guess this next one is going to happen in the 60s.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen, Joe?
60s or... Yeah, it had to be 60s. Apollo 11, I think.
Yeah, something with the moon landing or something.
Hmm.
We're getting into the time periods where you don't have that pulp action that Indiana Jones worked so well in with the first one, even the second and the third ones. Those are like the old pulp serial callbacks. But now you're going into the 60s. That format doesn't quite work as well. So I think a better alternative would just be recast Indiana Jones as somebody who's very similar and set another adventure fighting Nazis. Everybody loves to see Nazis get beat up and kicked around or some
amen.
Other pulpy kind of thing. What's that?
I said amen.
Amen. Well, at least she didn't break into a chorus of amen, amen. We know she likes to sing. but that's the kind of stuff Indiana Jones works best in. Going into the 50s, we saw that in the Crystal Skull. That was didn't work out too well. Going into the 60s, I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to send him into Korea? No, they'd be sending him into Vietnam if that's to do with the moon landing, right?
It would be Vietnam, you think?
In Vietnam, like late 60s?
It was, but...
That's what I'm kind of thinking. Korea was kind of done and over with. Well,
no, I think it would be... No, it's
still
the Russians.
Not done and over with, but...
No, it's the space race between the Russians and the Americans.
Yeah. I don't know how Indiana Jones would do in the space race or against a more recent modern enemy army. I don't know. I didn't think he worked too well against the Russians in the 50s. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think this is just a passing of the torch, and that's going to be the wrap on Indiana Jones. Hopefully it doesn't come down to like, you know, Star Trek, where Captain Kirk gets it. The end of the first Next Generation movie came down to three old guys fighting on a mountain, and one of them gets squashed by a bridge. Not the best ending for Captain Kirk, but I hope it doesn't come down to Indiana Jones fighting with another old guy on top of a mountain, and as he falls, he hands his hat off to her, and she catches it and puts it on, and beat somebody up. I hope it's not too cheesy, but
yeah, maybe we'll maybe Belloc is still alive.
Nah, he got melted.
Well,
that was a good end. That's the way villains should go out. None of this redemption stuff. Let them get melted by the wrath of God. You know, that's the way a villain's supposed to go out.
So I've seen a lot of people freaking out on the internet over this, and I'm going to just have like a wait and see attitude, because my idea of an Indiana Jones movie is, did you guys ever see Rambo 4 when Stallone? Well, it basically, he was a side character. He wasn't the main character. He was kind of like the guide and everybody didn't respect him. But then when it came time for, well, they were getting attacked by, oh, where were they? I forget it. Some Asian
Middle
country.
East or something at that point, right?
No, it wasn't Middle East. It was Rambo 4.
No, that's
like the Congo.
Yeah. Some Christians were trying to convert some people, and it was just a bad area to be in. But anyway, the point is that like he kind of
religious missionaries, you know, they just go overboard sometimes.
Yeah. Like he emerged as the Rambo that we knew, and he just started killing the military left and right. And it was super bloody. That's I appreciated the fact that it was super bloody, because I wasn't expecting it. But my point is that that's what Harrison Ford should kind of be, is like, maybe they want to go on a expedition to find a treasure and they need a guide, and they find out that, you know, he was really good back in his day, and they offer him a lot of money to use him as a tour guide or something like that to help him. They all get, you know, messed up with, I don't know, like the natives that are involved in whatever treasure they're going after. And he steps up and becomes the, you know, instead of the old man, he's Indiana Jones. I think that would have worked if they did something similar to that, but that's not what they're doing. It does seem like they're doing something with the space race, and there's a big cast involved. And I do feel like they're going to try to hand it over to someone else. Thank God it's not Shia LaBeouf. I think that he burned his bridges with everybody, that they'll probably say he was killed off at some point and in between movies. But
the nostalgic scene of like the pictures on the fireplace again, like with Marcus and Sean Connery, and
or pour a bottle of beer on his gravestone or something. So I would have been okay if they did something like that, but it's okay to do a spinoff series. I wouldn't want her to be called Indiana Jones. And I think that that's what people are pushing, that she not only get the hat, the whip, but she also get the moniker that she is the new Indiana Jones. Why can't a woman be Indiana Jones? My answer to that is because.
Because it's his name. It's not a title. Like, you could have anybody be a 007, but unless James Bond is a title or a code name, but that's not a code name. That's just his name, you know?
Well, that's not really his name, too. Indiana is just a nickname.
Yeah, it was named after the dog.
Right. Yeah. But that's his name. It's not like the code word or code name in a government agency where...
Well, maybe they'll create, hopefully they'll recreate a code name for her, or maybe they'll be super simple and call her Jane Jones or something.
Jane Jones.
Well, that's the Marvel way, you know? Bruce Banner, Jessica Jones.
I mean, if it's not too late, they could still call up Angelina Jolie. She could come on in the short shorts and the guns blazing.
No, but what he could do is he could marry her. And then she'd have the last name of Jones, you know. And then he dies and he says, "You're Indiana." Or she takes that whole thing.
It says Lara Jones.
So if she's a good character, like you guys said, that's cool if they could make a spinoff series. Just don't call her Indiana Jones. Just create a character, whoever she is, give her a cool name, give her own series, make a spinoff.
Give her own shtick.
Yeah.
She doesn't need the hat. She doesn't need the whip.
Let me talk. You keep interrupting.
It's I know, like driving I'm terrible me nuts. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm
why don't you
terrible.
Take a break? Go walk your dog or whatever.
It's all Fedra's fault. She's totally thrown me off from earlier.
Oh, man.
I'm on time and she starts picking on me. She's got me all riled up today.
Oh, well, it's throwing me under the bus there. Look
That's
at
right.
That.
That's right.
All right, kids.
Totally threw me off.
I'll turn this car around. Yeah, so I just can't see anyone replacing. I know they did it with James Bond, like when Sean Connery no longer wanted to play, they got someone to play him. I just can't see them doing that with Indiana Jones. And I wouldn't want to see it done. But Disney being Disney, it's like, look, we own this property. We're not going to sit on it because we think Harrison Ford is a sweet guy. We want to make money off of it. That's what we're in the business. We're in the business of making money, and they will eventually make another Indiana Jones movie with somebody replacing him. I just don't know when it will be. My only other issue with all this is, again, I'm kind of getting tired of all of this. And I know I sound like a broken record. It seems like Disney has this attitude where white males are bad. We need to get rid of them, replace them with either female leads or people of color. And if that's what they're doing with this, there's nothing I can do about it, but I'm just not going to like it. Plain and simple. What are you interrupting in whispers, Jack?
Here comes, Fedra. The rant. Here it comes. Rant.
Oh, what, you're going to say Fedra is going to like go against me with that?
No, she's going to just, you know, she's waiting as well. We know it's coming. You're building.
See, Fedra, how he's trying to blame you for him interrupting me?
I can feel your hate.
Oh, I'm like completely silent.
Yeah, I know. I think Jack's drinking. Were you drinking, Jack?
No, I'm not. I'm just, like I said, I'm very punchy. I'm extremely punchy.
All right.
And I apologize completely.
Speaking of an apology, so, all right, let's get on to our main topic. Yeah, one of us has not seen the recent What If. Can anyone take a guess who that person might be? It's not me.
It's not me.
Yeah, it's not Fedra.
Joe, you didn't get to watch it?
No, I said it's not me. It's you.
No, it's not me. As I've said before, like, this is just not a show I'm enjoying. I think the best episode was just watchable. That's not really a screaming endorsement to tune in. I just can't get into this. And you know what it is? You know what I think it is? I think they've taken What If and they want to do like a real serious story, but they write the dialogue for kids. Like you want to do a story. And actually Patrick and I were talking earlier about it, my son. And we were saying like, here it is, Peggy Carter gets the super soldier serum. And you're like, okay, Peggy Carter without the soldier serum kicks butt. She's great. In Captain America, I think she's great. That here it is. She doesn't have the super soldier, and she goes charging into a Hydra secret base head on. In her two seasons of series, she's taken on everybody. She's great. But here it is. She gets the super secret formula, super soldier formula. And she's like, still, we need to have that dance. No, we don't want to see that. We want to see Peggy Carter out there kicking Nazi butt, trashing the Red Skull, saving the world. We really don't give a darn about her having a dance with Steve Rogers.
Well, I would have appreciated it more if she would have said, sorry, Steve, you're too skinny and puny for me. I got to go to work.
And then week two, T'Challa gets taken off by the Ravagers. And instead of just being the tough kick butt guy that he is, he starts to make everybody in the galaxy friends. Like, no. T'Challa should be like, you know what, Londu? We're going to start, the Ravengers are going to have a big score. You know, and with his knowledge and scientific thinking, they should be raiding the bank of Rigel or something. Like, they should be pulling off a huge Ravager heist, not making a drinking buddies with Thanos. You know, so it's like they have a good question, but then they like make it like almost kid friendly. And then we have the
episode. All right. I don't need you to go over. I don't need you to go over every episode.
Okay, but
I understand what you're getting at.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
I get what you're saying, but this is what I'm saying is the listeners want to hear what you have to say about the episode. Well, if you hate it, they want to hear you say you hate it. You know, it's not like you can't like say this isn't a pass fail class. It's like I've decided not to watch it. You need to watch it.
No, I know I will watch it, but if I was enjoying the series, you could be darn sure I would have caught it. It's just, sorry to let you down, listeners, but like I said, I'm not enjoying it, and it's tough to make the time to watch it when it's something you're not going to enjoy watching.
All right.
So sorry. And then you told me what if question was this week, and then I'm like, I really have no interest in that whatsoever, because I can almost imagine what it would turn into. But go ahead, talk about the episode, and I'll let you know what I think it was going to turn into.
What would you think, Fedra?
Well, I'll say the only positive was at least at the end, there was an upside to the ending. That was nice. That was fresh. Two sides coming together where we have Chitala's sister on one side, and we got Pepper on the other. That was not bad. I like that. Two different generations, two different worlds coming together. Loved seeing that. It was like, finally, some love and some unity going on, you know?
A tea party in the garden?
Sorry?
A tea party in the garden?
No, they were actually in Pepper's... I'm sorry. Well, actually, Tony Stark's office, actually, right? That was the ending? That wasn't Pepper's office, right?
I don't remember. I mean, I know she was... I forget if she was the CEO or whatever. But yeah, it could have been his office. I forget.
So, I mean, that was the only real benefit. Throughout the episode, yeah, it's pretty dark. And there's definitely specific episodes... specific scenes that, again, we've kind of gone through this where we really feel that this is like an adult animated series. But if by chance a child was watching this... There are some really dark scenes in this episode, too, that I wouldn't really recommend and probably needs a warning. Again, I thought the overall story, pretty creative, introducing Killmonger and how, if he kind of went his route, how would it be? A lot of action, you know, in this one. So I felt like the speed was nice. It didn't feel too fast, but it also didn't feel too slow for me. And I liked... Oh, also the Watcher was pretty annoying from the beginning. Just got to say that too, because I feel you.
Now I don't have to say it.
No, I want you to say it again, because it deserves twice. It was annoying.
You know what I noticed this time? I don't know if you've noticed this either, Jack and Fedra. I think the Watcher's black now.
Yes. With a very big head.
Yeah.
And glowing eyes.
The big head.
Well, he's got a big head, but he was never black.
No. But I mean, I remember when he first showed up, he was just like this very stocky, big white guy. And then they started to alienize him a little bit more, where that's where you get like the skinnier body and the big head just to make him look a little bit more alien. But
that came to my mind, maybe I've seen this in other sci-fi films and even horror movies where they kind of show something that's in distance of view. And then as the season gets closer to the end, it's like you see the character getting closer and closer and closer. So maybe they're kind of doing this dynamic of having you see the Watcher overseeing the big picture closer and closer, maybe. Because you're right, this is like the first time where we see almost him in complete full view.
We've seen him kind of like peering over in the mm-hmm. distance in the clouds and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. Sorry for interrupting you, but I noticed that. It's because Jeffrey Wright? Yeah, he's the guy who voices.
It's a vicious cycle, you know. Jack interrupts you, you interrupt me.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to be good.
I still love you guys. I was just trying to be funny. Last thing I really liked with Chitala, you know, I really love the writing there where, I mean, it's just because I'm a very spiritual person. So I just really love that scene where, you know, he's facing Killmonger and he's just like, you're going to have your justice or your karma, whatever you want to call it. You're either going to get it here in the underworld with your ancestors, or you're going to get it in the physical world. And I really loved that. You know, it's a very deep thing. And it was like, he still didn't want to face that, you know? And I really loved showing that because it's having that kind of arrogance, you know, cause he thinks that he's got it all. Like he's topped it. He's like, I've gotten Stark, you know, I've gotten Wakanda. I've tackled this and I have this power, quote unquote, when it's like, you really don't, you're kidding yourself. And I really liked that piece in there. I think overall the character, you know, Killmonger was great. And I really liked that a lot of the original voices were in this. For some reason, it hit better in this episode than in the past ones for me. I don't know why. Maybe I was just more noticed, like I noticed it more. So it just felt like a nice, full-fledged episode. Would I see it again? No, I thought it was just very, again, dark and the undertones too. Like, I just want to quickly say, even these undertones of how the military, you know, does their own thing, and how, you know, Stark was doing these, you know, creating these weapons, and how it kind of full circle affected, you know, his business as well as the military, and like doing these like dealings, you know, about getting the vibranium. Like even just showing that part, I was just like, okay, you know, you've seen it so many times in so many different movies that it's just like overplayed.
Yeah. So I'd gotten a text message from Eric and he had seen it and he told me I really didn't like this one. And I think he implied that you're not going to like this one. So I watched it and surprisingly I liked it. And when I first started watching it, I kind of got a vibe I wasn't going to like it, because what it was is Killmonger shows up on the day that Tony is about to get hit by the rockets when he's in the Jeeps in Afghanistan, and he saves Tony's life. And all of a sudden, Tony decides, oh, he's my best buddy. He saved my life. You know, he makes him second in charge of Stark Industries. He's giving him everything on a platter. And so my initial thought was, here we go again. They're going to get rid of Iron Man and they're going to replace him, you know, with Killmonger, you know, again, a person of color. And he's going to be better than, similar to like what they did with T'Challa and Star-Lord, that he's going to be a new Iron Man, but he's going to be a better version of it. And he's going to make a lot more changes that Tony wasn't able to. But I was wrong, because he ends up betraying Tony through it. He ends up, my favorite scene in this, can you tell me, Frederick, what was my favorite scene during this whole thing?
Probably maybe that fight scene with him and with the prototype and with Tony.
No, they killed off Rhodey, voiced by Don Cheadle. He killed him. And I was like, yes, Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not a fan of Don Cheadle as Rhodey.
I've known you've said it several times.
Yeah, I don't like him. But no, I like the fact that they kept him bad and that they made him even more evil in this one. Because not only did he take advantage of the U.S. military and Stark Industries, but also Wakanda. My problem, I guess I'm going to go to this right now, is that it ended abruptly. You know, it just ended like where Pepper meets Shuri, and they basically say he's been hiding the fact that he's behind all of this deception and people fighting with each other. Like he's causing both sides to fight with each other so he could take advantage of everything. But Shuri figures it out. Pepper kind of has an idea that he might be in it. And so they meet and they say, well, we have to work together to try to stop this. And then it just ends. And I'm like, come on. Well, maybe there'll be a part two, but it'll probably be in season two. But I wanted to see what was going to happen, to see if he got his comeuppance, and, you know, but it just ended so weirdly. My other problem was Tony Stark came off as an idiot in this. He was just very arrogant. He didn't see things coming. He's very gullible. He just handed over everything to Killmonger. And you would think somebody like that would do a thorough background check on him. And then when he realizes that he killed Rhodey, because he had footage of him killing Rhodey, he confronts him in his office, not as Iron Man, because he hasn't created the Iron Man suit yet, as Tony Stark, and Killmonger kills him. Doesn't call the cops, doesn't let anybody know that Killmonger is behind everything. He just thinks that he could stop him before he does any more, and he gets killed. So Killmonger keeps going on to do all of his bad things. What I liked is it made me appreciate too Black Panther. And I want to see that again after watching this, because the one thing with T'Challa, or Chadwick Boseman's portrayal of T'Challa, which I love, is that he might not always be in control of his emotions, but he's got composure. Like he knows not to be, to show his feelings. He's very calm during the whole situation, like, because Killmonger kills him. He's in the spirit world, and he gets to see T'Challa again. And T'Challa, like Fedra had said, has this conversation with him, and it's not of anger. It's just, he's completely calm. And I just love that whole aspect of his portrayal of Black Panther. I don't think he was like that in the comics. And I think that that's something that Chadwick Boseman and the director may have brought to him. Well, he was in that in Civil War too. He was very calm, even though he wanted revenge against his father's death. He kept things like I said he didn't keep his composure. He did. He always keeps his composure. He's always the coolest person or the calmest person in the room, no matter what's like going on. In the
comics too.
Oh, he is.
T'Challa is. He's always level-headed. He's always, you know, he's always thinking ahead of everybody else in the room. So he does keep his calm, keep his cool. He does get forceful, like, you know, I'm the king. You will do what I say, you know. But he's almost always the level-headed guy in the room.
Well, I love that about him. And I am going to watch Black Panther again because I really like that. And he was one of my favorite parts of Civil War. But yeah, I just liked it. Because I wasn't expecting the direction that they went into. I thought it was going to be another cookie cutter thing where Killmonger, again, was going to be the hero. It's going to save everybody, but he was a bastard. And we need good villains. Unfortunately, he died in Black Panther, but nothing would shock me. Now that they have the multiverse, they might bring back another version of Killmonger, and you know, maybe we'll see. But again, Tony just meeting Killmonger and then handing over the kingdoms to him so easily reminded me of Peter and Mysterio when he gave him the glasses. It's like, I've only known you for a few hours. You know what? Let's put you in charge of everything. It's just kind of dumb. It just makes both of those characters dumb, gullible, and just not unlike it, just not like their character should be. But I think you should watch it, Jack. I think that you might like it.
I'll get to it eventually. It's just this week has been pretty busy. So
no, I'm just saying that you said you haven't liked many of the episodes. I think you might like this one because I liked it, which I was surprised that I liked it. And if I had to watch another episode out of all the ones that we've seen, I'd watch this one again. And I don't think I could say that for any other episode that they've aired so far.
Well, that's another reason why I always love coming on the show, because I always just want to see, what are you going to say, Joe? Like, you never stop surprising me. And I love that, yeah. Because even if we have conflicting ideas about it, like, I love your points. And I think the other deeper part, I guess, of the writing, if that was their intention, was showing that scene of Tony Stark in Afghanistan and going through that was his humbling moment. And so if he didn't have that moment and, you know, he, you know, Killmonger saves him, he just stays that rich, arrogant, you know, snobby guy. And so, of course, you know, with his mentality, let me give this person whatever they want because, hey, they saved my life. I owe them my life, you know? And I think it shows that even in that moment when he finds out what Killmonger truly did, it's again thinking, oh, because of my design with this prototype, I have control. I've got this. And it's just showing, like, that kind of egotistical way, you know, you could be wrong and it can cost you your life. And it's like showing that kind of deceit, you know, where on one hand he saves him and then the other hand he kills him. It's like that part, at least for the writing, is good to show.
Yeah, and I guess that's the whole thing too. He never got to become Iron Man because he didn't go through the adventures that Tony Stark went through in Afghanistan, where he was kidnapped by 10 rings, I guess. And he didn't have any perspective. Instead, Killmonger had saved him, and not realizing the harm that he did with the Stark family creating all these weapons, he's like, we have to create more. We have to create better ones. Mm-hmm. So we can destroy them. So it kind of made him a little more evil. I still like the episode because that's what If should be. It shouldn't be canon. It should just be kind of stories that could have happened. Because a lot of times in the comic books, you would see some of the good characters turn bad and some of the bad characters turn good. So I'm fine with that. It's just I didn't like the whole cookie cutter thing where everybody in all of the, it seemed like most of the episodes that they were airing of What If was that they were better versions of the previous versions, or that they were just always good. So I suggest, Jack, just check it out. I think you might enjoy it. I guess that's about it.
All right.
All right, let's wrap this one up. So Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
You can add me on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email me at fedraekris@gmail.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And check out Walt Disney World News Today, as well as Disneyland News Today and Universal Park News Today for all your Disney Universal news. Please visit the Carousel of Products. There's a ton of fun WDWNT merchandise on sale. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. WDWNT. With that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 34. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night.